you are sure that the Lord is good to you and you know you want to serve him for the rest of your days and is the lifter up of your head above the strength of life, come on, give the Lord a big hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's have a seat in God's presence. I count it such a very, very great privilege to be here today. And each time I have to speak on family issues, I just know that it can only be God. Because I'm not qualified in the least bit. By background, everything. But God is a rewriter of history. He is the one that changes destinies. And that's why one of the things I want to tell you today is not to give up on life. Tell your neighbor, say, don't give up. So it's a very great privilege for me. And anytime I have to speak to God's chosen people, for a very long time when God even asked me to go into the marriage ministry, I struggled with it. And I told God, I want my home to be good too. I want, you know, I was trying to attain perfection, so to say. But God said, it's time. And when I have to stand and speak to God's chosen people, because you are not ordinary, you are God's crafted. God crafted. God has a special interest in you. And for that reason, he sent his only begotten son, all that he had, to come and deliver you. So when I have to stand here and be delivering on his behalf, it's a great privilege. And I thank God for the life of my sister. She's a testimony. I want us to celebrate her. Thank you for showing that it is good to serve the living Jesus. And you know, as I was sitting there, God gave me words for you. And I was just overwhelmed. You know, it's for her, so it's not for all of you. So don't be too eager to listen. Your own is coming. Say, my own is coming. Hallelujah. I so appreciate you, Ma. I thank you. Thank you for being such a great example to everyone around. And I know that he who began a good work in you, he'll be faithful and he will perfect it in the name of Jesus. I've seen a lot of people that I know here, Auntie Ewande, my auntie there, my darling brothers and sisters, I appreciate you all and I celebrate you. I came here with my daughter, she my look-alike. I call her the younger sister I never had, Favor Ogulano. And of course, a brother also was instrumental to bringing me here. Brother Isaac, thank you very much. Celebrate them for me. And lastly, I bring greetings from my boyfriend. You know, I call him my boyfriend. Because a sister came to my house some years ago. We were neighbors. And I never knew her husband. So when she came with a man. And I said, who is he? He said, this is my boyfriend. And I said, yeah. How can Christians be this bold in this day and age? You are bringing boyfriend to my house. What for? And I was still thinking of all those things in my... You know, I didn't want to be too forward. I didn't talk. And when they started talking, I saw that it was her husband. So ever since then, I started calling my own husband to my boyfriend. I bring in greetings in the name of the Lord. I want us to have a word of prayer with the Lord this afternoon. I want you to tell God, God, I want to see you. I don't know what you are going through. I don't know how it has been with you. But just say, Father, I want to see you. Because when you see the Lord, things take a new turn for the better in every single area of your life. So tell Father, say, Lord, I just want to see you this afternoon. I don't want to see a man. I don't want to hear any human. I just want to see you and hear from you. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for another time to go into your word. Bible says you sent forth your word and you healed them and you delivered them from all their afflictions. Lord, that will be our testimony this afternoon. in the mighty name of Jesus. Nobody will live here the same way they came. In the mighty name of Jesus. You will meet every need. You will wipe every tear. Lord, you will reveal yourself to your people. And your name shall be praised forever. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Let your amen be louder.
Amen.
I'm going to start with the married people this morning. And I'll start with a story. Some few years ago, a lady came to me and wanted to break a relationship with an unbeliever. So they brought her to me. It was a very dicey one. It was later on I saw the caliber of person she was going out with. It was a Muslim man, very, very rich. And I told her, I said, you need to break this relationship. She said, I know already. I said, so what is stopping you? And I wanted to, you know, preach further and spice it up. I said, you can't enjoy your marriage with an unbeliever. I said, if you are married to a Christian guy, the man will take good care of you. He said, no. I said, what do you mean by that? I said, what I mean is the man will take good care. If you marry a Christian husband, the person will take good care of you, not this kind of unbeliever. She said, please, man, don't say that again. And then she went on. She said, I have friends who are married to pastors and they are maltreating their wives. She said, if I want to consider this singular factor that you're talking about, I won't leave this relationship. She said, the only reason why I am leaving is because I'm convinced in my heart. I'm born again and I know that what I'm doing is wrong and God is calling me back to him. She said, the person that even brought me to you. In fact, she went on and on and on. And I was almost in tears. She said, I have friends who are married to pastors. She just gave birth. And the man is not even caring at all. She has stitches all over, rupturing. She still has to fend for her baby, has to fend for the house. And the man is just doing like the lion of the tribe of wherever he's coming from. And he's not helping out. That was when I concluded that your marriage is the gospel that you are preaching. Don't go about and be doing house to house and door to door evangelism. And then you come back and you are living like something else, like a beast in the house. No. Church is a place where we come around all the conferences. Church is a place where we learn how to act out there. That is where we demonstrate. That is where we prove that what we are listening to, we really understand it. Your marriage is the gospel that you are preaching. Tell another neighbor, say, your marriage is the gospel that you are preaching. And I'm so excited this afternoon because we have young ones here. Those who are not married. Because the reason why a lot of people are struggling today with their marriages is because they didn't hear the right things when they were younger. Ignorance. The Bible says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. A lot of marriages are just patching up, just managing, just trying to cope. Some people come to church, they will smile, they will shout hallelujah. But back home, in fact, from their car, they start to fight. It's very, very unfortunate. And this shouldn't be. If only we follow the marriage manual. I call the Bible the marriage manual. When we started and God called me into the marriage ministry, the Family Impact Network, he gave me a guideline. The principle to live by is the word of God. Any other thing is fable. African mentality, fable. American idea, fable. Whatever you cannot base upon God's word when it comes to marriage is going to amount to nothing. It won't work. If you want your marriage to work, open the Bible. But unfortunately, a lot of us are not doing that. We are going by what social media is saying. Recently, I read something on social media. I was on Instagram. I'm a social media person, and I hope you are. Because the world is emerging. Things are changing. Somebody says, I'm not just techie. I just don't like it. The only thing you do with your phone is to receive call and text. You will soon be extinct. You become obsolete. They'll look for you and they'll be looking because everybody is there. That's where everybody is.
You are still renting shop all over the place. People are trading in millions per day on that small Instagram. So please, make sure that you are trending. Tell somebody, say, ensure you are trending. That's just by the way. Ensure you are trending. You just find out that people are no longer coming to your shop where you sell. They are on Instagram. They are on Facebook. They are buying and selling there. My young daughter, last daughter came home, and he ordered some things from China. I said, Mommy, please, can you come to the post office? She spent just 5,000 naira. So many items. We kept signing and signing and signing at the post office using my ID card and everything because she wasn't 18 yet. You can imagine. So everybody is there all over the world. The world is now a global village. So you better go there. But when you go there, know what you're looking for. That's not where to get marriage advice. Except the person talking is talking based on what the word of God says. So it was maybe it was a joke, I don't know. Somebody said, is it right when a man finishes eating to take his plate to the kitchen? I think I saw it on either Niger Girl or one of those blogs. And some people started making all these comments. Ah, no, let him carry the plate on his head and take it to the kitchen. Some said, oh, no, it's not right. Let him, after eating, he should use it as pillow and sleep on it. And they went on and on and on, and it was funny. Of course, I know what they are trying to say is that we should help one another in the house. Now, I, Olabosade, at this stage of my marriage, I can't get home after reading that and say, Reverend Gbadoya, finish it and carry your plate. Are you getting me? Because you better work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It is your race. It's not everybody's race. So you have to know what obtains in your own situation. So as a child of God, your marriage is supposed to serve God. Your marriage is supposed to preach to people. So make up your mind. You have to be intentional about the kind of marriage that you are living. Because not just for yourself alone, your children are watching. One day, a lady told me, somebody, a friend, and she was always complaining, her husband did this, her husband is a pastor. And one day she said, do you know that my daughters just said they are not going to get married? Ah, I said, you and your husband, you are in trouble. Because they just said, in fact, she said, the youngest one said, Mom, if this is what marriage is all about, I don't think I'm interested. Innocent children, what are you writing on the tablet of their hearts? Some years back, I attended the funeral of a friend's husband. And that thing has never left me. Their seven-year-old boy wrote something about the father. And all he wrote was, Dad loves Mom so much, he treats her like a baby. Oh my God. I wept that day. But then I was so happy because that man had lived a good life. He had left a great legacy for that boy. If that boy comes up one day and says he wants to marry my daughter, that's the kind of boy you hand over your daughter to. Because the life you are living now is the marriage seminar that your children are watching. Whatever you are doing with your marriage now is home video for your children to watch and to emulate later on when they get married. So if you are the type of a man that beats his wife, you are just telling your boy it's okay to beat. Women are meant to be forbidden. And by the way, let me just say something quickly about that. It is no longer acceptable for spouses to be beating each other. It's no longer acceptable to think that spouse, he or she was provoking me. Why don't you get provoked when you're on the traffic and a Nigerian soldier man comes around with his belt, ready talking at everybody? Why don't you get provoked at that time and retaliate and do the same beating you do at home? Why? Why don't you get provoked when you get to the office and your boss, who is the opposite sex of the spouse you are maltreating at home, comes up and shouts at you? Why don't you get provoked and just give that boss a stinking slap? You know that's the end of your job. They don't get provoked at that too. But they get provoked at home. When that spouse probably misbehaves or is naughty, I don't know what they call it, and then they start beating. They need a mind reset. They need a mind reset. It's no longer acceptable because people are dying. A single slap can land another person in the mortuary. So when they bring cases like that to me, I call a lawyer. I have some correct lawyers around me. So they explain the terms. They say, Mr. Man, the next time you do this thing, we're going to arrest you. And these are the terms and consequences. And I tell people, it's the victims that are abetting abuse in Nigeria. Because I didn't want anybody to know that something is happening in my home. Things are happening in every home. Let me announce to you. I told them at the marriage conference yesterday, I said, after this conference, myself and my husband, we will sit down now. Then the things we have also learned at this conference, we will start practicing the ones we have not been practicing. Because we keep getting better. The Bible talks about the word of God as a mirror. When you look at it, you make adjustments. So nobody is perfect. Nobody is holy as God. We are all striving towards it. There is no bishop's home that is immune to divorce. That's the mistake people make. Unfortunately, they are the ones that don't attend meetings like this because they feel they know it all. If you are not invited as a concubility guest speaker, they don't do anything about it. So you have to tell yourself the truth. You call a round table conference and you say, see, you need to know this thing. You need to get better here. You need to do this. So everybody should be learning. Everybody should be getting better. How can your marriage be the same way it was last year? I talked to people yesterday. I said, your sex life, the same way you have been having sex since you got married, it's still the same. It is no longer acceptable. The Bible says, thou shalt be above only as a woman. Stop that nonsense. Your husband is saying, I don't like your wife is saying, I don't like how you are doing it. You say, I will lie. You know, in those days, it is risky. Enter the room. It's no longer acceptable. You have to be dynamic about it. Let everybody be getting better with every area of life. It's no longer acceptable to be telling the women when their husbands are cheating that it must be your fault. Who says? A man carries himself and goes to a brothel or goes into his secretary. He said, then you say, check yourself. Then the woman will say, hey, I'm not normal. The woman that is already hurting from infidelity, from the pain of infidelity. You know, this side, this patriarchal society, I don't understand. The Bible is not patriarchal. Look at the Bible, the New Testament. It says, we have been delivered from the cross of the law. If it were in the Old Testament, my sister would not sit here preaching to us. Because she's not a man. Oh, we don't have to rest. No, he's not a man. You know, the patriarchal society, the culture, the African culture, if the men have not sat down and talk, the women don't have anything to say. True or false? But that's not the Bible. So that's why some of you, you have only female children and then you are going from pillar to post. I want to burn me. And God doesn't understand. Is he hermaphrodite you want to burn again? Because that girl that God has given you is the image of God. Better than 1,000 boys. Stop making the boys feel as if they are the only ones that God has created. That's why they grow up into beasts as husbands. That's why we as parents have to start from this moment. Everybody cooks in the house, everybody does everything. Your boy is inside pressing phone, playing video game. And the girls finish, they finish eating, they pack the dishes, they do the dishes, they sweep, they do everything. Your boy is there watching TV. You are doing great disservice to that boy. Great disservice. And when it's time to share things, you give him the choice things. Worshipping him because he's the one that we inherit your, I don't know what they are inheriting. I told somebody still yesterday, I said, I don't understand why people are amassing wealth. Have you ever seen anybody that dies and carries even just a single house with him or her? Have you seen, just get to your house and look at the neighbors or the neighborhood. Some of those buildings, I'm sure maybe your landlord, if you have one, when he died, he took his own, isn't it? So I don't know what the meaning of life is. Impact. Whatever you can do now,
That's why I'm telling you sincerely, by the end of this meeting, you must make up your mind that you will live your life in such a way that your mates will be scarce. Let it be said of you that you died empty. Don't live your life carelessly. Babes, the only thing is not just about taking the phone after you've done the makeup on your face, as beautiful as the one I have on, isn't it? All you do is selfie, baka, baka. You know, when I see some people's social media, we are empowering some youths, about 500 youths. After training, the training was what we had on Friday. We're going to second them to various organizations and they will train them in vocational skills. Skills is it. Amen. Right now. You go to the university, you get the degree, you must have skills, vocational skills. When I was in university, I learned how to sew. It's just by the side. I can't go hungry. I can cook. I can make cakes. I have a couture. I have bread bakery. I just do anything. If you don't want to make clothes, you will eat bread. If you don't eat bread, you will have wedding. Invite me. And if you don't do that, you will buy chicken. And some other things. You just need to have skills. Somebody says, what are you studying? I'm studying aeronautical, takasatika. In Nigeria of today, study it very well and come out with a first class, but have a vocation and a skill. Something in addition to whatever you're doing. So we'll send them out to various organizations. They will train them. Solar, farming, the oil of the country right now. My God. The plenary session we had, I had young ones that were mentoring. Some people had 300 acres, 30-something year old. And their mates are there watching pornography. Ah. Their mates are there. They don't know what to do with social media. Some of them are connecting farmers to buyers. And they are getting grants of $10,000, $100,000. And their mates are there just wearing baths, bath upon bath upon bath, and just, you know, landing their feet on the ground like that, just making shakara all over the place. Empty. When you ask them, what are you doing? They say, they can't make anything meaningful out of life. They can't give you something tangible that they are doing. Living big. That's the problem with some of the men we have now. That's why a lot of women are crumbling. They are the ones that will pay school fees, they will pay house rent. You that are young, I just congratulate you. I'm coming back to you. You are there, your wife is paying house rent, your wife is praying for feeding, doing everything. What are you doing? What do you want to become? Please, if you're a woman in that shoes, do it well. You have talked. You have told pastor. They have prayed about it. Continue to pray. Do it well, oh. Because for every labor, there is profit. And I pray you shall not labor in vain. Amen. Because such men will not say that, my wife is a winch. She has taken my glory. Which glory? The glory they are using to watch television early morning when their mates have gone to work. I don't understand. We have to be real. I see women who are suicidal because of this. I say, don't kill yourself. Somebody wants to die because my husband committed adultery. Welcome to the party. You are not the only one. There are so many women. They are just not talking. That their husbands have committed murder and adultery. But they've learned to forgive. That's another thing I would like to say. Let me tell you the secret. I try to prepare for this meeting. God said, just go. So I will just say what he has asked me to say. Take your own, like Pastor has told us. Hurt. That's what's killing some marriages. Your husband has committed that adultery. So today is 1st of September. You say, what's the matter? He say, it's a year. It's a year today. The day you commit the adultery, it's a year, another year. You are doing celebration of another man's sin. When God has put that sin in the ocean of forgetfulness, shame on you. We don't have the time, but I want you to go and read the stories of the two women in the Bible. Tamar is their name. One Tamar was raped. After that rape case, we never heard of her. She went into obscurity.
And that's the news that God has told me to tell you today. No matter what has happened to you, it's just one chapter in the book of your life. You have several other chapters that are still empty. So whatever incidents or events that is unpleasant that has happened, hello, you are still alive. You still have the opportunity. Even if you've been separated from your husband or your wife today, you still have several opportunities to rewrite things and make it better and prove to the world that your God is alive. You know, that other Tamar, that's something very important to also consider. She wasn't properly brought up by her mother. It's the mother's fault. Because the mother, you're to tell your girl, the man, you're to tell your boy. They didn't tell her about child sexual abuse. That's something that we need to drum into the ears of our children right now. A lot of them have been abused. I've seen people that are busy, under Satan's yoke, and their children are being meddled with. Once I saw a four-year-old boy, when the house help left, they just discovered he couldn't sleep. Nursery school boy. So they had to call the people that bring the house helps. I don't know, this generation, you better work hard. Some of you that you don't want to do anything, say you work hard so that you'll be strong for your family when you get married. All this contracting, every assignment that God has given you to house help, it won't work. Not in this day and age. This day and age, the heart of man is desperately wicked. The house help, they brought her back and they asked. They had to sedate the boy to sleep. So the next day, from birth, she was sleeping in the house help's room. The mom was a regional manager of a bank. Very busy. You know how it is. And that's why some of us want to go there and change things. For the women, you must give them time. The society is a function of what happens in each and every family represented. So if you want to change the nation, let's change the families. All these people we're seeing now, they came from homes. All our reps, all our senators, all our governors, they were nurtured in one home. And I don't know what their parents were telling them. Because there are other people all over the world. LKY was nurtured by a mother. They said that woman sold everything she had to send that boy to school in Britain. And when he came back to Hong Kong, he did great things. That place, they don't have landmarks, they don't have anything. He transformed the place. He spent and sold, it was sold out to the cross of that land. They did a lot of exploits, and the nation is from underdeveloped, is now part of the developed nations of the world. We just need a man. God always wants a man. Let us leave that side. So when this crazy little boy, because very rich, their father gave them everything, they had their quarters, they have everything. Don't use money to destroy the future of your child. My daughter is here. When the cooks, I'm a caterer, when the cooks are cooking, they have to be there. I tell them, I'm not a trailer or a tipper in this family. I can't be working and then some children will be in their rooms just playing game. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to be a part of it. We spend it together. I keep telling them, have you seen me at my father or my mother's graveside pouring money there? This money goes to everybody. Everybody shares it. So let's all do it together. You are building that child to become responsible. She said one day she went to her friend's house and she was making money and they said, you can do money with leaf. I said, what else did they used to do money? Is it cup or? I said, this is amazing. You can make amala. She cannot only make amala. I remember the day my son said, mommy, all this cooking thing is for women. I said, today you are going to cook jollof rice and not for the family. We will make the one for party jollof. Oh yeah, let's go outside. So we went out. I put the pot on fire. I recorded and put it on Facebook that day. And when he did it, he said, I'm proud of myself. I said, look at him. You have to train all these children. So that boy, he was not well trained. Go and read the story. He said he feels like having his sister. They said the sister was very pretty and beautiful. Incest is going on in some homes today. Some parents don't know. Yesterday, the person that took the session on child sexual abuse, she said in that same Ibadan, she has handled within a week over 7 cases of father-daughter abuse. But some of the women will say, don't talk, don't let them know, don't talk, don't let them know. Your husband is abusing. In fact, to confirm what she said, there was a wedding I got involved with. I mean, did some of their things. And the lady called me and I said, ah, Mrs. So-and-so, how are you? She said, I don't have good news for you, ma. Said, I've had to let my husband go because he was abusive. That he's been a pedophile from a young age. That's why we are saying, train these children, you know. Train them up. Let them know the right things. And if you're a child or a son or a daughter or anybody here and you have problems with sexuality, speak out to trusted quarters. There is help available for you. Don't let it get to that stage. The man so much wants the marriage, but she has to leave because she has daughters. She has to leave because he was caught touching his daughter. She has to leave. Can you imagine? That's why they are telling us the truth now. Take care of all these little things before you climb the stage. You know, it's still good. You are still on this level. Maybe that's why God has not promoted you yet. Handle all those things. Because when you come to the limelight, in this day and age, the day of social media, one day I was checking somebody's profile and I had to Google his name. And I saw convicted for this. Coincidentally, it wasn't that same person. It was a different person. But what if he had been the same person? And who had changed? Anything that happens, it will be on social media. No eraser can erase it. So be careful. Hello? Tell your neighbor, say be careful. Listen good this afternoon. No. So that whatever you hear, you make amends. So you're not going to be slapping people anyhow. And some of those stuffs, it starts from a young age. This guy said, I want to have my sister. And you know, he had bad company. That's another thing. Evil communication will corrupt good manners. That's what the Bible says. Show me your friend, and I will tell you about your destiny and your future. You are a function of the 5 closest people around you. In fact, if you want to, don't let anybody deceive you. Just look at who are those 5 close people around you. Just look at where they are, how they are. Just find the average. That's how you become. That's the truth. Research has shown it, and the Bible testifies to it. Because you influence your one another, you rub off on one another. So the friend said, I want to have my sister. I said, yeah, is that what you want? If he had a good friend, the friend should have slapped him. Receive the spirit of a senator. Give him a stinking slap. That's where to slap. Because he needed somebody to jack him up. That, what are you thinking? Are you crazy? If you read that story and see the repercussion of what happened to that boy, you will know that he needed a slap at that point. But the friend said, don't worry, I will arrange. Just tell your daddy that you are sick and your sister should prepare cake and bring it to you. Now, the mother was alive, I guess. And if the mother was not even alive, I don't know what the late mother taught that girl. That you don't stay behind closed doors with anybody. They had their chalet. You know, there'll be a living room and there'll be rooms. After you bake the cake, where do they eat on the bed? And your brother now said, no, don't drop it on the dining. He's inside the room. He should have asked the brother, why do you want to eat in the room? I'll drop it here. You come and get your food. I'm going to my chalet. But she did. She was gullible. After baking the cake, she still went inside. You know, you are going to greet your boyfriend with your cleavage showing all over the place. Behind closed doors, anything can happen. And I learned that they are doing trial these days. Is it true? Talk to me. Is it true? Trial marriage. Couple's life. Yes. I asked. We have a ministry where we also do matchmaking in Christendom because people come to church and they're just looking straight. Looking up to God and looking down. They don't look around. I remember the last case. The two of them, they came from the same church. Same building, same congregation. We just saw the form and said, this church. Call them together if they like each other. So they called, they got married, long and short. same church, but nothing bringing them together. You first have to be friends. So that ministry is just for people who need who to marry, 40-year-old, 50, you know. So any age, they just come together, different class. We do some, we call it class. So we go to a very, you know, highbrow place. You pay for that, you come there. So once you, that one, you see cars. Aha. That's another one, everybody, you know, general people. And even that one, when we start, we say, okay, you have a degree from OND and above, stay in this place. Then I'll come up. If you know that your intellectual capacity is somewhat high and you just come to the, you just see some people, they will be looking at you. You know they are not part of you. Those that understand you, they'll get up and go. So those are the people that are going to interact for that day. So the boy was tricked his sister, entered the room, and he defiled her. And the Bible says the moment he defiled her, the love, the hatred with which he hated that girl was more than the love that he had for her. One night stand. Don't be a one night stand girl. It is not okay to sleep around. In fact, it's not okay to sleep once. It's not okay. There was somebody that I knew. And after some time, she was away from me. Then she came visiting, and she was so lean. I tell you, there's nothing I stand to gain by lying. She was very, very lean, and somebody told me, we took her to virology, because we go there a lot. Myself and my husband, you want to get married. Before you get married, we'll tell you, oh yeah, let's go. Usage. Go and do tests. Don't bamboozle anybody. Faith, prayer, speaking in tongues. But let's see the reality. What is in your body? So you take the person there. By the time they did the test for her, she had HIV and she was arguing with the woman. Call her. Let her come. She's my confidant. Let her come. It can't be. When I now asked her, I said, you were in South Africa. Nothing happened now. You told me that nothing happened. So what could have happened? She said, I met a guy not too long ago and we slept once. Once. She's late today. Because she didn't even accept to take medication. She was disillusioned. She was attending some of these churches that say they shouldn't go to the hospital. Please, why are you using faith? I'm sure Pastor will allow me to say this. Take the one that will make your eye clear, that the faith can now, you can even read the Bible. You know, at times, you can't, when you're fasting at times, you can't read the Bible. By the time you get to that stage, it's no longer fasting. No. You know that one is hunger strike. Hello? So stop sleeping around. How many people are going to test? They told me. So that meeting that we had, in fact, the one we had last week Saturday, they now said, I think it's okay to sleep with a woman because we have to be sure he can have an erection. We have to be sure. The ladies were saying this. I said, how many people are going to test you? And how many people are you going to test? Because the guys feel he doesn't read meter, so they can do anything. You can't do anything. Because he that is joined to an harlot is one body. And at that point, anything can transfer. There's transference of spirits first, before the physical things begin to transfer. And that's why some people lay hands on this, it won't work. Lay hands on that, because you have carried all sorts of junks over your destiny because of sex. You can't afford to be loose. When God is telling us to zip up, it's not because he has a wife here that he's trying to protect. No, it's for your own sake. Because with the youth now, there are some things you are talking to them, you are talking about virginity, you are saying keep yourself, and they're saying what? It's pokey. Old school. There's nothing like old school in the word of God. The word of God is yea and amen. God the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So listen, and listen good. Five guys sleep with you before you eventually meet your own. Of what use is that? You are catching fun. No. You are catching infection. You are catching emotional trauma. You are catching demonic spirits. Because any guy that sleeps with you is loose. So he's likely must have slept with other ladies. And those other ladies might be the ones standing on the streets. So you can imagine all the cobwebs, you know, that you are getting involved with. It's of no use at all. Please, I'm going to lead all our youth this afternoon into a prayer. I'm going to lead you so that you stay sane and stay safe. We too, we were youths before. We didn't have to do those things. And I'm happily married today. There are so many things that people pay attention to. The only thing they are planning for is wedding. That's the only thing they are planning for. The ashoebi, the this. When I got married, I used cotton, Tejo show material. We couldn't afford the engagement outfit. I went to Tejo show because the only money available then was to buy this cheap lace that they call it Jebuba Miodunde. You know that lace? Heavy, cheap lace like that. That's how, you don't know it. You're young. The old ones, we know it. That's how they call that lace. The Nigerian lace that they started producing at that time. And I know some people might wear it and they'll be wondering. And I'm sure they'll say, but how they kill all day, why? Everybody will ask me, what is left? I'll say, engagement has been. And I'll say that wedding is a few days. I just went to the Joshua Market. I just bought that plain material. Nobody knows where it's coming from. In fact, somebody asked me, did your cousins bring this? Because they know my cousins were abroad. Did they bring this? I just smiled. And I remember my shoes. I used old shoes. I just covered one. I used satin fabric to cover it. I made my wedding dress. And I put something like this on top of it. Then the other one too. So I told my chief bridesmaid, I made a long train. I said, once I kneel down, just make sure that train is covering the back of the shoes. Recently, we were making this ashoke for the dummy. And when I wore it in the studio, I was near tears. Because I remember that when I had my wedding, I didn't have the privilege of this. But does that stop any happy marriage? There are so many people that have worn gold head to toe. They are not together. So some things are important, but some are more important than others. Focus on the things that are priority. You need to prioritize your life. You can't afford to be pleasing everybody. That is why some homes are breaking. Comparing, Bible says, those that compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. My husband, we have not bought a car. A friend of mine came yesterday and she cruised to the venue with a very beautiful car. I said, friend, what's happening? She said, don't say I told you. It's one of my husband's uncle that died. All the children are abroad. The car was rotting away in the garage, so we took it. New car. They just bought it for the man. Brand new car. I don't know why some of these people buy new cars for their old people. And by the man will die, nobody will use it. That's why you need to tell. You know, I tell my children, when I'm having my birthday, I mandate them to the youngest, take care of me. Oh yeah, buy correct. Now let me be enjoying my life. She can testify to it. You not wait until somebody is old and you not be bringing irrelevant things that is not even useful for that fellow at that time. Now, let's start enjoying the life now. Hello? Hi. I was saying this in a salon, and the mother said, I'm learning. Because all I've been doing, you know, she was just shouting. She was in the salon, and she called her son. And the son said, Mom, come and pick me. I said, let that guy take a bike down here. All right, it's 100 naira. Right now, let him take a bike and meet you here. You've been driving since I saw she came in. She drove out. She came in, brought some things for the soup for the night. Came in, then she drove. She dropped the car, and they were washing the car. The son is now sitting somewhere, picking tooth, maybe with a girl, eating shawarma. And he's asking the mother to drive again through the traffic of Bodija and come and pick him in. I said, don't do that. Don't do that. That's not care any longer. That's slavery. You need to position yourself and teach your children to be able to care for you too. Women, we can be spent. Somebody told a joke and said he entered an eatery and he saw the, you know, maybe mega chicken and saw the guys. They'll ask them what they want to order. He said, oha, the paneyam, fresh fish. Put smoked banla and one snail only. He said by the time she got to the market, she saw the women eating gala, carrying market bags, drinking bottled water, sweating. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself, woman. Take care of yourself. Because I know how we women are. Because we are very, very particular about our home, about our children, about our husband, and it's good. But the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. It didn't say love your neighbor more than yourself. Take care of yourself. Ask my children. In fact, if not that I'm traveling back, I have some spas that I use here in Lagos. I'll just go there like this. Massage the leg. Touch that part very well. From head to toe. Very good way of refreshing and rejuvenating because I've worked. And when you labor, you must rest. Don't walk and die. Take care of your health. Check your BP. Check the little things so that you'll be fit. They will not, nobody will take your place. So, So she was raped. And that was the last we heard of her. Joyce Meyer was raped severally. Abused by her father, stepfather. Is she not all over the place now? So what happened to Tama? Don't be a Tama. When we are closing, I'll tell you about the story of the other Tama. And one of the things I believed affected her was hurt. She never forgave. See what happened. Her brother came, killed the guy, killed all the brothers, retaliated, and everybody, there was bloodshed all over the place. Finished that generation. She never forgave. Learn to forgive. You know the meaning of hurt? It is a painful feeling. That's the meaning of hurt. Listen, feeling that you have as a result of your perception about what people have done to you or what you think they have not done to you that they ought to do. It is a feeling. Hurt is a feeling. Your husband says, "I don't love you." You become hurt. If you know, somebody came for counseling one day. I said, "My husband is always telling me I don't love you." I said, "Wake up in the morning, darling, and look into the mirror and say, I love what I see." I know you are passing through that phase while he's becoming rehabilitated. You love yourself. Hurt is a feeling. Because your husband says he doesn't love you, you now get to Third Mainland Bridge and you want to jump off the bridge. The man will remarry and he will enjoy his life. I have different cases of unforgiveness, and I will tell you just two. Number one, there was a situation in Ibadan. The husband was committing adultery all over the place and he wasn't working. This happened to those SU people. Real life story. She was a dressmaker. In fact, it was her customer that is now my own customer that told me this story. And when the situation was going on, she told me. And we read it in the newspapers because they had to lie in UCH that it was a kerosene stove explosion. But it was a lie. So they told her, and she now said, okay, they said she didn't even reply. The next time, she trailed them and attempted an acid bath. She was 5 months pregnant. She had a daughter. She attended an acid bath on the husband. She caught them red-handed. You know, when men are idle hands is the devil's working shop. That's where the devil dwells, when somebody is idle. And some women too, you pay the school fees. Maybe the husband didn't have a job at some point. When he has a job, let him play his role. You know, some women cause these things. Before the husband says, "You are not doing the hug," they quickly do it. "Mrs. Fix it." "You are not," they handle it. So the husband says, "Ah, thank God for this woman. No, let me enjoy my life." And he begins to enjoy his life. So unfortunately, as she was trying to pour the acid, the husband, you know, defended himself and he poured back on the woman. It just shows me how hurt and hate and unforgiveness is. It is like a burning coal. It is the person that is holding it that is going to get hurt. Poured on her and she was cooked from her waist down. They put her in a cast like this in UCH for 5 days before she died in pain. Excuse me, they've since buried her. And you know, on this side of eternity, they rarely convict people. They say, she has a child for him because of the future, this and that. Would the husband not have married that girl now if he wanted to? I know of another case. The man went into adultery and had a child outside, and the woman vowed that she would never forget and forgive. The long and short of the story is that she is insane as I speak today. At times, they have to tie her in one corner of the house when visitors are there. They won't allow her to come out. They say, she'll be saying, "I want to go to the toilet." "No, sit down there. a woman that should be enjoying the fruit of her labor in the evening of her life is now insane. If they don't take care of her, she will just walk without undies, anything. She will just walk. She's going out on the streets. I tell women, don't die because of a man. It's not worth it. Because on that your grave, 10,000 men with match on it. Don't die because of any marital reason. Extramarital affair, abuse, don't die. It's not worth it. Don't let it get to you. It starts with hurt. Feeling, it is a feeling. That means I can choose not to feel right. I told my husband, I said, if I'm correcting you on anything now, it's not because I'm hurt. I just want us to do it right. You know, we tell ourselves the truth. We just, because we have to live well because of what we are doing. But me hurt, no. I'm practicing advanced forgiveness. Before you commit the sin, the forgiveness is available for you. Because I understand that you that is getting hurt is the one that is being affected. And that's why some people have not been able to move on in life. Their spouse has offended them and they cannot just forget. They can't get over it. Hello, if you are born again, you have the supernatural grace to forgive. You have the supernatural grace to forgive. God has graced you so you can forgive and forgive like God. The Bible says before you bring your offering, go and settle the scores with your brother. Do you understand that? That means whatever prayer you pray in this church, if you have aught against anyone, is of no use. It won't even pass through the ceiling. That's what it means. So who has offended you? What have they done? What have they done? Do you know what they are going through when they did it? Do you know their background? Do you know, there are some people, they even take offense that you are thinking the way you are thinking. You know, that's the one I don't understand. You are challenging my thoughts. I have a right to think. As a human being. So you know, I now voice out my thought and say, why do you think like that? Why shouldn't I think? And they become offended. No. You need to strategically position yourself in such a way that it won't be easy for people to hurt you. I fear people that are quiet too. I like it when you speak out. Like me, pum pum pum, I bring it out. Although now I'm growing, so I'm being careful the way I bring it out. Because wisdom is profitable to direct. And words are like eggs. Once they fall to the ground, you can't pick it again. So I'm being very careful. Proud to this time, I used to just bear out my mind. Thank you very much. Okay. Because we still have questions and answers. So ensure that you take care of yourself. Give people excuses for what they do. Just look at, I wrote something on Facebook one day and I said, look at your spouse like you are a professional. A doctor who treats mentally ill patients can never ever slap those patients when they misbehave. Do they? I remember when I was having my last son, I weed at the face of the doctor that was taking my delivery. He didn't slap me. It was part of the deal because he's a professional. Now, if he gets hurt, what will happen to that baby? The baby may just fall on the ground and break his head. Now, as a woman, you are a helpmeet for your husband. So when your husband is doing some of those things, you need to put on the goggle of a professional and look at him. You know what the devil wants? He wants you to be hurt, to back him, to be against him. God knows that this man cannot help himself. He's a danger of two legs, going to crash somewhere. So he said, it's not good that a man be alone. I'll make a help meet for him. So he made you and put you by his side. You know his weakness, you know everything. You can prayer cover him. You can help him. But he will now make sure that he's hurting you. So you are hurt, you can pray for him. Even when you want to pray, you say, fire! Fire, fire, prayer. I don't know where they got it from. It's not in the Bible. Die, die, die. No way. It doesn't work. How many people have died with those prayers? You know, at times my husband says that, check, when you are doing something and you are not getting results, just sit down and ask yourself, this thing, there's something about it. So it makes you to be hot against that man. Your relationship is not right with the man, with God, with everybody. Do you know that some people, because of marriage, they have become something else? They have become who they are not supposed to be. Before they got married, they used to be pleasant and sweet. They got married, they are not. Because you allow yourself to be hurt.
You are the owner of your life. You can decide how you want to live. You know, thank God for my husband. He has helped me a great deal. I can say I didn't know Jack about marriage when I got married. But he helped me. He was patient. You know, now that we talk, you just say, I just used to look at you. I remember there were times I would say, you know what? You know, I'm a pastor. I will preach in church tomorrow.
I said, mom.
So maybe you are in that situation today. I said a lot of things. For those of you that are not married, that are still single, look before you leap. There's compatibility. The person must be born again. Ah, this born again thing is nice. He's a nice guy. He's tall, he's dark, he's handsome, and he has a good ride. Oh, he must be, he may be a cult member. I'm sorry for you. He doesn't drink, he just drinks a little, just once in a while. Don't compromise. It's all or none. Christianity is not what you just be doing dilly dallying about. He parties, songs, we're a child of God, don't go to party. This is our party. Don't do those things. Be firm. Don't move with the wrong company. If a sheep moves with the dog, the sheep will eat poo-poo. It's just the truth. And then you marry somebody that is not committed, that is not ready to read the Bible. You know, on Sunday morning like this, some people have been sleeping, hangover from club. Is that the kind of life you want to live? Chains of girlfriend. All the lady that on your wedding day, all the boyfriends are doing, they're winking at her. Hello. Darling, finish and come over. Is that what you want to do with your life? You need to think. You must be born again, spirit-filled. Not just a member of the choir. Make sure you marry your friend. Look at how he's living his life. Does he lie? Does he tell you he's receiving a call and somebody calls him in this Lekki International British School? He says, I'm in Calabar. Oh, I'm in Oklahoma. And you still want to marry that kind of a person. That's how he will be doing to you now. Give him back his ring. All that the youth concentrate on now is how to propose. Will you marry me? I don't know where they got that from. The things they are supposed to learn, they are not learning. Before you open your mouth and even say I love you to any lady, please read 5 books on marriage. Good books. Read it from cover to cover. Chew it. Understand what it's talking about. Before you move near it. You want your marriage to be like your parents' own? Or you think we don't know how your parents are doing it? Do you like that? It's only a few that will raise up their hands here. If I ask, do you want your marriage to be like your mommy and daddy's own? That's usually the case. We don't have the time. I would have asked you to shut your eyes and then tell them to do it and I'll tell you the figure. So you should know what you are doing. And don't just aim to marry somebody that is good. Are you good? Go and read that 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. And take it home. Because a lot of times we think that once we are born again, that is the end. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 to 6. It says, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. Are we not complete? But in another verse there, it says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge temperance, to your temperance patience, to your patience godliness. I thought this thing, he has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You still have to be adding these things to yourself every day. I wake up some days and I say, Father, what is left? Please open my eyes to see. Because if everybody is eulogizing you and telling you it is okay, you need some good friends like God that will tell you this is not okay. That's why I have very few friends. I have friends that can tell me the truth. Some of these politicians, they just surround themselves with sycophants, with people that will just be hailing them because they need to collect. You know, when they tell, Mr. Governor, you're not doing right. You too, Mr. Governor, will become their enemy. So who doesn't want to collect? They say, Mr. Governor, blessed are you amongst governors. You are the only one that's doing right in this whole nation. So what you are hearing now, go home. Is it temperance? You need to work on your emotions. You get angry. I knew a protege. I was asking, when is the wedding? He said, Mommy, wedding is not holding again. Bobo came to my house and he was seeing me off and he slapped me at the junction. I went back home and told my mom,
Later, he came with his mom and they were begging. And the mom was saying, please, that is his weakness. That's the only weakness he has. He said, my mom took Omorogun and chased them away. I said, blessed be that woman. That is a good mother. Slap before wedding. What will be happening after wedding? Is his weakness. Since, you know, some children will be throwing tantrum in church now. You say, take. You scatter the whole church. Scatter chair. Everybody is just, you know, walking on eggshells around a little boy. Because he's a boy. That's what happens to such children. They slap their fiance and miss great opportunity. Another woman was telling me in confidence the same thing. He said, the anger of my boy, I don't know. The boy is already having bia-bia, so I don't know how they want to do it. It's only the boy that can now help himself. And thank God I have boys here today. So take care of whatever weakness you have. He says, add to your faith virtue. I thought after faith, it's only faith. Believe it, receive it, confess it. I thought that was all. He says, add virtue to it. Oh. If you want to get a job, I sent something to my children. This, we have one family chat. And you know what happened? The guy was supposed to get a job, and he went for the interview. The jaw was open. The maybe mop was across the lawn. Everything. So as he was going, and his father was always telling him to do some of those things. So he gets to the door. He shuts it behind him. Sees one mop across. He was going for the interview. He removes it. Gets to the chair. Then somebody was coming, and you know, he greets the person. He was well behaved all through. When he sat down, they said, take, we have employed you. That there's a camera checking all that you were doing all along. I heard of another one too. They needed customer service professionals, people who will deal with their customers' rights. And they just put some kunku people that didn't eat beans when they were young and put them on the panel. Wore suits. So when you enter, they say, hi. So some people with their first class, they say, hello. Hi, hi. You know, youth, they have all sorts of slangs now. Please be well behaved. Show that you are called. If your parent did not teach you well, you need to just teach yourself. Gone are the days that I say, it's my parent that didn't teach me. What are you doing at 18? You ought to teach yourself. You are a man. You are a woman. So go and learn another training. And the Bible is there. That's where you are born again. You have the opportunity. Bible has everything. So all those ones that said hi, they took just one person that got there and said, good afternoon, ma. Good afternoon, sir. And cut seed. That's all they needed. Some people with their first class, they were so full of themselves. It's not enough to have academic excellence. It's not enough. It's good. I like it. One day I told my children, and we'll close with that. It was their prize giving day. And they were others were receiving prize. I now called two of them. I said, what are you doing? Say, we want to dance. Whether it's Atilogu, I say, dance. I said, people are receiving prize in this place. You are dancing. I was so annoyed. And ever since then, things changed. Me too, when they are receiving prize. Now, I like to stand up. You know, it's your choice. See, life is a choice. What do you choose? It's what you want that God will, you know, also accept and aid you with. I told you I'm closing with that story of Tamar. The second Tamar, he had the first husband. Bible says that one did what was wrong in the sight of God. God struck him. Had the second husband, you know, the culture at that time, he had to marry the brother. Got married to the brother, that one spilled it. God struck him. Ah! The father-in-law said, had a young brother. He said, you know what? Go to your father's mother's house and your father's house. When the child is grown, we send for you so that we can do the traditional things. Knowing in his mind, Bible says knowing in his mind that he wasn't going to do it. Only God knows what they gave that woman. If it were Yoruba culture, they would say, poko, poko. One husband died, the second husband died. But you know, she made up her mind. She said, she strategically positioned herself one day and said, she must have heard that the scepter shall not depart from Judah. She said, this thing they are talking about, I will be a part of it. So she positioned herself, and she had a set of twins. She became the great-great-grandmother of our Lord Jesus Christ. She rewrote her story. But she didn't just stay there and say, hey, see what happened to me, oh, everybody, oh, see, oh. No, she wasn't doing that. She made up her mind that she wasn't going to die in obscurity. God will give you so many chances in life. Let us pray this afternoon. Let us pray. I don't know how your life has been. Before we go into questions and answers, Just sit down. I want you to pray, thinking. I want you to make some decisions because there's a God factor that is more important than anything in life. Some of us are born again, but we have taken our lives back. You know, you say you give your life to Christ. You are the one leading and living your life. It's not good. You need to give it back to Him. So I need some commitments this afternoon. That's what God is telling me. I need some people to rededicate their lives to Christ. I say, Father, I want you to have your way. I've missed it. I was born again. I was doing this and doing that. Please, all eyes closed, all heads bowed. I just want you to take over. From this moment, take over the reins of my family. Take over the reins of my life. Take over the reins of my destiny. I want you to open a new page unto me. Please, just wherever you are, just quickly put your hands up to God. God sees it. Yes, thank you. Just put your hands up. All heads bowed, please. Everybody, it's only God that is seeing you. Just put up your hands. Put it, raise it high. Yes, raise it very high. Raise it high and put it down. Raise it high, then put it down again. Just for God to see. As a mark that, Father, I'm starting afresh with you again this afternoon. Just say this after me. Say, Father God, I come to you today, acknowledging I'm a sinner and I cannot help myself. Come into my life. Become my Lord and Savior. Lord, I rededicate my life afresh unto you. From this moment onwards, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. Wherever you ask me to go, I will go. I'll follow the word. I'll follow the Bible. As I rededicate my life to you today, and I give my life to you, have your way in every area of my life from this day onwards. Whatever agreement I might have made, knowingly or unknowingly, with the devil or the kingdom of darkness, I break it today. Some of you are in wrong relationships. Break that relationship right now, and God will help you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we appreciate you. Thank you, Lord, because you are a God of so many chances. And with you, nothing is impossible. Ah, some of us have written the chapters of our life, and the first chapters are not too pleasant. Lord, we know you are giving us other opportunities. Opportunities to live the right life, to make impact in the sands of time. Opportunity to walk in the fullness of your will and purpose. Father, thank you for your opening such doors unto us this afternoon. In the mighty name of Jesus. You will heal every broken heart. Thank you for grace to forgive. Thank you, we are retracing our steps and setting things right. Our homes will be filled with bliss and joy. In the mighty name of Jesus, any single person under the sound of my voice today, you will not miss it. Amen. You will not mismarry. You will marry the right person that will love you. Amen. And that you will love and fulfill God's will and purpose together for your life. Is there anybody here today looking up to God for a life partner? Old and of age. Father, make it happen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Those who are looking to God for the fruit of the womb. Thank you, because heaven is full of babies. Lord, rain some of them down here today in the name of Jesus. Make a way where there seems to be no way. Help everyone. You are the only reason for our living. Father, Lord, we acknowledge you. Thank you for what you have done today. We celebrate you, Lord. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.